Welcome to My Life, Tanya Applied, with Rabbi Simon Jacobson, a journey into the deepest teachings of Torah and their application to our personal, emotional, and psychological lives.
A good tavach, a good week. We continue our journey in the life-changing Sefer HaTanya. This program is made possible by Rina Lights LLC and is in honor and memory of Rabbi Yosef Halevi Weinberg, Olav HaShalom, Rabbi Moshe Pinchas HaKoyen, Moshe Pinchas HaKoyen Katz, Olav HaShalom, and Rabbi Yael HaKoyen Khan, Olav HaShalom. It's also on Schus and Merit of Rabbi Zev Yecheskel HaKoyen and Risha Katz, the Erech Yom B'Shanim Tevis, for many long healthy years. It's also, and above all, the current circumstances in honor of our sacred and holy soldiers fighting a battle, defending and protecting the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael. May Hashem protect them all, release the hostages, and end this once and for all. It should only be shalom, shati shalom ba'aretz, forever and ever, with the becoming of the Geula. Learning Chassidus, Tanya, Shteirishe B'Ksav of Chassidus, hastens that and speeds that up. Like the Baal Shem Tov heard from Mashiach, when will you come? When will Mashiach come? Kishifutsu, Mayinesecha Chutsu. So this class and all the classes are all part of that process. So we're up to, we finished chapter 17 in Tanya, Perikud Zayin, we're up to Perikud Ches. This is an important juncture in Tanya, as we shall explain, where there's a shift in the discussion. But the first thing we'll do is sum up what we learned at the end of chapter 17, and in general, the first 17 chapters, and then an introduction into chapter 18, and as we continue on. So, at the end of chapter 17, which the whole chapter 17 in general was focused on the words that the Alter Rebbe uses on the Sharblat of Tanya, Koreve Lecha Adover Me'ed, that this Sefer that Tanya is based on, Me'yusid, to explain well the Pasuk, Koreve Lecha Adover Me'ed Beficho Bolvovcha La'aseise. So how do you explain that the Torah Mitzvah is Koreve Lecha Adover Me'ed, which means it's accessible, it's reachable, not something that's distant or in heaven, or across a wide sea, as the Pasuk says, but Karev Elecha, and not just Elecha Dover, but Ma'id, which we'll talk about in chapter 18, especially and on, but Beficha Bolvovcha La'aseise, in your mouth, in your heart, and your actions. Not just in your mouth and your and actions, not just in Dibur HaMaisa, speech and action, but also Bolvovcha. So how is that possible? The answer, like the Alter Rebbe asked in the beginning of chapter 17, that's neged achush shelanu. It's counterintuitive. It doesn't seem to make sense, because if your heart is not there, it's not there. And like he said in chapter 17, that you see, it's not a simple thing to transform the heart's desires of the animal soul, which desires materialism, toward godliness. So how do you say korev elecha dover me'ed bolvavcha? So this Alter Rebbe now sums up everything he taught, especially from chapter 12 and on about the Beinoni, because midas Beinoni is midas kol adam v'acharei kol adam yimshach. Every person can be a Beinoni, and that's the personality type of every individual. A tzaddik is unique; that requires a special neshama. A rosha is someone that doesn't have doing the work, but everybody could be a Beinoni, which means a Beinoni doesn't mean you change that you don't know Yetzer Hara and no Nefesh HaBamis, because that would not be possible without help from above. So how is it possible that we could be a Beinoni? Because we have Moyach Shalat Al Alev. Everyone naturally has the ability to control themselves. So a Rosha doesn't necessarily access that all the time. And a Beinoni does. He accesses that strength, that faculty that's inherent in him, not acquired. And as such, he has the ability that even when the desires of the Nefesh HaBamis, of the animal soul, arise, he can keep it at bay. He can't stop it from rising and from existing. That's why the Muhammad goes on. But he can control, like he said, the two kings that fight over the Irk Tana Zaguf. He can control it. It shouldn't affect his thought, speech, and action. And that itself, there are levels during davening, after davening. And the Beni itself, we learn many different levels as well throughout. So what do you know from all of this? That it's accessible because of all the tools that he has. And Moich Shal Talev was a primary one, but there's also the Hashem's help that he gives him. And other factors. So that explains why Karav Elecha Adover Me'ed Beficha B'Lvavcha L'Seisa, even B'Lvavcha. Because he can control his heart, meaning the heart's desires of the animal soul, the Beinoni can. The question is to what extent? So we learned there's a level in chapter 16 where he can do, where he controls it, where a person is able to contemplate to the point that he actually has a fiery passion, ava bizgalously by his expression. And that's what dominates. It's still a Beinoni, but that's the work that he did. And that's what's necessary in a Beni, like he explained in chapter 15, that for to be a Vodai, to be an Eved Elikim, meaning to be Eved Elikim, you have to be able to be an Oved Elikim, as he explained in chapter 15. You have to constantly make effort. It can't just be relying on your nature or your second nature. And what is the effort, that work that you do with that contemplation? So there's a level where you actually bring these godlessly, which actually comes passion. But even if a person doesn't reach that level, said the Alter Rebbe in chapter 16, he could have talumes libe, that he feels it's worthy. His mind has brought him at least to the point. He doesn't feel a fiery passion and love, but he feels that he's worthy, that it's worthy to love God, to the point that it has a b'vavcha la seise. So it may not be a full fiery passion in l'vavcha, but it's enough to impact his lasese, his actions, his thought, speech, and action. And as such, that's why he is able, that's why Karav Elecha Adover Me'ed, as explained in chapter 16, and then following into chapter 17. That was the first half of chapter 17. The second half, what about the Rasha? The Tzaddik, as we learned, is Libam Birshusam. They control their heart completely. The Beinoni is not Libam Birshusam, but Moach Shal Talev. He controls it with the Moach. In other words, he has to make that effort. The Tzaddik has already won that battle, and is naturally this heart follows what the divine love that he has, and the Be'er Nefesh Abam is, for all practical purposes, is gone. Or even transformed and completely transformed, or almost completely transformed. What about the Rasha? The opposite. Their heart, their desire, their emotions control them. So it's not they're not exercising Moach Shal Talev. And the Alter Rebbe said even not only that ain libam b'reshusam klal. That means essentially they follow their instinctive, their impulsive desires. This doesn't mean every second, but it means that's their state of being. In contrast to Abeni, whose state of being is self-control. I mean, we could all find examples of it. There are times where you're in a state of that type of self-mastery and self-control, and there are times you're not. But Rosh in general is not. And that's why he succumbs to his desires quite easily. The question is to the extent. So what do we deal with? What about this person? So in a way, you could think of the end of chapter 17, the Alter Rebbe is rounding out because he wants to address all people. At the end of the day, even though Midas HaBein is Midas Kolodom, but the fact of the matter is there are the existence of the Arosha, Rishoyim. So what happens with the Rishoyim? So we discussed at length the difference between Arosha V'Tevle and Arosha V'Ralei. So he says, Arosha Be'emes, this is the end of chapter 17, where he says, that Arosha Be'em, Mishu Arosha Be'emes, and that's when we say, Hem B'reshus Libam, Ve'en Libam B'reshusam Klal. Because by Arosha V'Tevle, you can't say, En Libam B'reshusam Klal, because there are times, and many times. Remember, Arosha V'Tevle is even someone who does one Aveda all his life. So when you say, Shoyim Hem B'reshus Libam, he's saying, Arosha Be'emes, and that tak is the einish, that the einish, the punishment, the consequence of that, is that he does not have control over himself. So the Moich Shal Talev, which is natural and inherent to a person, has been blocked, so to speak. It's like we talk about an addict. Even though his soul is complete and his divine soul is there, and naturally he has Moich Shal Talev, but here he's essentially become so toxic in his life through his choices that it's blocking the Moich Shal Talev. Something has to happen to dislodge the blocks and the impediments. And since he's a person like that, meaning Elu, the Mereshoim, who even their lifetimes they're called Mesim, that's why you can't say Karev Elecha Dover Meir on that person, except if they do tshuva. Does tshuva. So what is the power of tshuva? Tshuva breaks that impediment. Those toxins that are not allowing the Moich Shal Talev, self-control, like with, when it comes to an addict, that's the case. Tshuva, which breaks the heart, like a broken heart, the sadness, the bitterness that he feels over it, that breaks through. And once that breaks through, then that tshuva is allows the Nefesh HaLikis and the Moich Shal Talev of the Nefesh HaLikis over the Nefesh HaBam is to come back into effect. And as I explained, this is the level of tshuva tata, to elevate the hei tata, which fell and became held hostage in the klippas, golos hashchina, golos le'edem shchina imayim, when a person behaves like ma'ase edem, a behavior which is the behavior of edem, referring to a behavior where he draws down the godly component and spark, and is being trapped in the klippas. But tshuva, when you break the klippa, you break the shell, you break that block with tshuva, then yispardu, that causes it all to dissipate, these negative forces that are blocking. And as he concludes the peda, kama bin philosopher gam tzova. That she, the shechina, which was trapped initially due to the sins, rises upright from her fall and keeps standing too. So not just rises, but keeps permanently standing. That's what tshuva has the power to do. So what do you see from this? This is how a rasha comes back to access Karev Elecha Dover Me'ed. So the Alter Rebbe has covered the entire spectrum of every possible person and how the pasuk Karev Elecha Dover Me'ed refers to everybody. So for a rasha requires, a rasha be'emes requires this tshuva in order to break through, to be able to re-access that which became trapped, as he explained. Okay, so this concludes chapter 17. Now, before we go to chapter 18, let's now an overview of what we've learned. From the beginning of Tanya, as the Alter Rebbe laid out, so-called, all the moving pieces, he began, of course, with Tanya B'Sei Peri Gimel Deni, the Mashbiyah Nesei Tehit Tzadik V'Alti Rasha, and began the discussion of the Tzadik, the Rasha, and the Beinoni. Bunch of questions that the Alter Rebbe asked in the beginning of chapter 1, which the answer begins coming in chapter 10, and especially chapter 12 and on, where he gets back to Tzadik in chapter 10, Rosh in chapter 11, and Beini in chapter 12 and on. And essentially, we're talking primarily about the Beini even till here. But before we got to that, the Alter Rebbe gave a long discussion on what makes a person a person. Who are you? The two souls, the divine soul and the animal soul. The animal soul, he begins discussing at the end of chapter, second half of chapter 1. Chapter 2, 3, 4, and 5 is about the divine soul. What is the divine soul? Its core connection to godliness. Its faculties, mind, emotions. How it connects to the divine, because its mind and emotions are all guided toward Elokus, as he explains there. Then the garments of that divine soul, the thought, speech, and action, and through Torah and mitzvahs, a person stimulates and arouses and awakens and allows the divine soul to manifest. Then in chapter 6, 7, and 8, he talked about the animal soul. With Zelu Mazeh, it's like a parallel universe, an alter ego. And then in chapter 9, he brought them both together and said, here's the battle. The divine soul and the animal soul meet within each one of us. In the Iktana Zehaguf, in the small city, which is the body. And our faculties are the citizens of the city, the limbs and organs. Who's going to control a person? Who's going to control this human being? And namely, the thought, speech, and action. Because the faculties are there. The faculties of the divine soul are divine, are drawn to the divine and to the transcendent. The faculties of the animal soul are drawn, as he said, the left side of the heart toward the impulses and impulsive emotions of its own survival and needs. And there's a battle. The divine soul rests in the mind and from there goes to the right side of the heart. So that's the battle. The goal, of course, is that the divine soul should win this battle. And it's control the irktana of the human being. Then after explaining the setting the stage of the battle, then comes the chapters that discuss what happens. End of chapter 9, the Alter Rebbe, of course, talks about how a person does control, and to the point that actually the love of the divine affects even the left side of the heart. But then, in categorizing it, chapter 10 talks about the tzaddik. Tzaddik is someone who's completely won the battle. In a tzaddik itself, there are two levels. Then the Rosh, who's not won the battle, he's having the battle, and sometimes the Nefesh HaLikis wins, sometimes the Nefesh HaBamis. So think of it as a perpetual battle over a city. By the tzaddik, the divine soul has won the battle. The Beinoni in chapter 12 is obviously the focus of Sefer Shel Beinonim. And what does the Beinoni come to teach us? The Beinoni is that he has both. He has the faculties, he has the battle, but he's winning the battle. But the battle doesn't stop. By the tzaddik, the battle is over. The divine soul has won. By the Beinoni, the battle continues, but the Moyach Shal Talev that we discussed, that's inherent in him, keeps control over the city in the thought, speech, and action. And then he continues, chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14, all discussing that, and with that explaining the questions he asked in chapter 1. About what means Mashbin Eseti Tzadik and what means Alti Rosha and why you need both. And that and Rabbah, who considered himself Gemoya Beinoni. Why? Because a Beinoni is not a Rosha. A Beinoni is like a Rosha in the faculties, but is in this Machshava Dibra Maisa, he's complete control. And then he continued in chapter 15 to discuss in Beinoni itself levels. Of the Eved Elokim, a Loyavodai. Loyavodai is more is a Beinoni by, I don't say default, but doesn't take the effort. That's why it's called doesn't because it work, because it's nature's nature or a second nature. And then there's the effort of Eved, that he's an Eved, Lashon Heva, that he serves and works hard to maintain that status of being a Beinoni. And that itself, he spoke about levels. It could be that his mind is so in control. Or it could be he even brought there something that we're going to talk about now more at length in chapter 18, that you can also access your natural love, but with work, not relying purely on reflexes or on your nature, on nature or second nature, human nature, the person's nature or second nature, the nature that he has, for example, that he wants to learn, or the nature that he has that he's somewhat not so passionate about with materialism. So it's all natural, but Aveda means that he works on it. And that led us into chapter 16, where the Alter Rebbe says the two klolim, that the Beinoni is the person who's not just controlling his thought, speech, and action. His state of being is such that he's in a state of self-control because his mind is so powerfully dominating and controlling his heart, Moich Shal Talev. And then he talks about the second klol, even if a person can't reach that level, like we spoke about passionate love, but it can reach at least the level with his mind, the Ava Mishoteres and Talumis Libe, the Ava Betalumis Libe, that he feels that it's worthy loving God. So he doesn't feel it fully as someone feels it, but all of his being realizes the importance of it. And it has impact. It's not just theoretical. It impacts his thought, speech, and action, as he explains there. And that itself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzarfa L'maisa, the Eibishter helps him as he does that, to actually connect it to the Maisim, as we discussed there in chapter 16. And that led to chapter 17. Chapter 17, like we just reviewed, it brings it together to Kodav Elecha Dover Me. That's why it's Kodav Elecha. Also Bilvavcha. Bilvavcha, at least La Seisei. Obviously, for someone who's on the first level, where he has the passionate love, it's not just Bilvavcha connection to La Seisei, meaning that it's enough that he feels the worthiness. He actually feels the love. So then it's even stronger. But even if someone doesn't reach that level, it's still Karev Elecha, Belevavcha La'Seisei, like he says, because anyone who has a mind, a brain in his head, is able to contemplate it, and that he has control over. Liboy is not B'Rishusei. He doesn't have control over his heart like the Tzaddik does. But he has control over his mind, and his mind can control his heart. So B'Mela, that way, that causes him to be able to maintain that status. And regarding the Rasha, now that we're talking to all these levels, because everything started with Tzaddik, Beni, and Rasha, we talked that ultimately the Rosh Hashanah even requires tshuva. The Rosh Hashanah we also discussed, because the Rosh Hashanah is not a Rosh Hashanah. And there too there's tshuva, but it's not quite the way it is by a Rosh Hashanah who's completely under the control over his impulses, of his heart, of the animal soul. And the details about the Rosh Hashanah, I refer to what we discussed in previous classes. Okay. So now that we've established that, this is an introduction, let's now continue in chapter 18. So what is the Alter Rebbe now going to say? So I'll just read a few lines, but I want to explain really before we actually get into the thick of it. So Alter Rebbe starts Perik Yud Ches, the taste of his beer, to further understand, Bayer Hetiv, with clarity, with a good understanding, with a good explanation, milas ma'oid, shebeposik yikorev alecha dover ma'id. The first thing he said, we're going to explain what means the word ma'oid. We're not just saying it's accessible. We're not just saying that it's within reach, korev alecha, but we're saying it's very much within reach, ma'oid. That we need to understand what that means. It's one thing to say it's accessible, like we learned, but to say it's very much so needs further explanation. Now, when you read the Pashas L'Tos of his beard, the Alter Rebbe could have began the chapter and said, V'yesh L'Havin, or we need to explain Milas Ma'id. But he says L'Tos of his beard, which means what he's saying here is also an additional explanation to what we learned till now. So it's not a completely new topic. He's continuing and sent to additionally explain what we've learned. We now need to explain the word Mo'ed. But then when we continue learning, we're going to see the Alter Rebbe is now going to introduce, even though he already made mention of it, he's going to introduce another type of Ava. Till now we've been talking about the Ava that comes through Aveda. As a matter of fact, in chapter 15, he made it very clear that if it's just due to the love in your natural heart that a person loves God, because neshama is a chelik alikam and mal mamish, that's lo yavodai. You need some work. And the main work, and that was the whole focus, was to contemplate on elikus to the point that it gives birth to midas. The main focus was not reaching the natural love that's in you. It was to give birth to new midas. From here on, in chapter 18 and 19, and he starts talking about the Ava that is natural to every person that we inherited from, it's like from in our DNA, from Yerushim Avisenu. So you would think, why is this L'Tos of his beard? You could argue, now he's going to another approach, which will explain why it's Ma'id. But the fact that he says L'Tos of his beard tells you that it's a continuation of what we've been discussing. Because it's still all about Karev Elecha Dover Meid. He's not coming, it's true he's coming to teach now another path to experience divine love, but it's another path that's coming in addition to what we've learned till now. That's the L'Tos of his beard. Now this is vital because in understanding these two approaches, one is that your mind, you contemplate on something and your mind leads you and gives birth to emotions, to feelings. And the other approach, which is that it's coming naturally from your natural love. See, each one has a mila, has a quality that the other doesn't have. Let's explain what that is. The first one takes a lot more work because you're not accessing necessarily your natural love, even though you also access it, as we'll discuss. And he mentioned that also earlier in chapter 12 and another, and in chapter 15 briefly. But the primary is about your contemplating. You're contemplating, like he said in chapter 3, on Mamala Kalam and the Savior of Kalam, how God fills all of existence and God is beyond existence and Kula Kameh Kalach Hashem, everything is nullified before him. And that in turn awakens emotions of longing and connecting and wanting to connect with the divine. So on that, on one hand, it's much harder work. Whereas opposed, the second approach is about accessing something that's already there. It may be dormant, it may be silent, but it's there, the pile of flame is there, and you're fanning those flames. On the other hand, the first approach is a more permanent one, because if you worked hard at it, it became yours. Your mind and emotions have become under your control. Whereas the second is true, it's a powerful experience, the powerful experience of accessing the very love, the natural love that the neshama has to godliness. But since it didn't come with the same amount of work, you're doing something that's there, its permanence, it's permeating you, it's completely transforming you, has not taken place. So that's why the Chassidim, that Taich, when the Alter Rebbe writes in the introduction to Tanya, she says, what does he say? Levayet Hetev, to explain well. And sixthly, he also says Bayet Hetev here too. The word Levayet Hetev, to explain well, what? Eichshu Karev Elecha, the pasuk Karev Elecha Adov Meid B'fichel B'Vav Chalasei, says B'derech Harucha Ktsara. So the question is, what means Derech Harucha Ktsara? So we know, we discussed it when we first started learning Tanya, it comes from the Gemara, the two ways to get to the city. One is a derech harucha ktsara, which means it takes longer, but doesn't have the same stumbling blocks. The other is derech ktsara harucha, it's a shorter path, but there's a lot of stumbling blocks. So it's taka ktsara, but it's harucha. The first one is harucha, but it's ktsara, because once you do it, it takes longer, but once you do it, you have a smooth path. So some chassidim explain in Tanya that this is what the Alter Rebbe was taught till chapter 18, meaning till the end of chapter 17, he's talking about derech harucha. Why is it a derech harucha? Because it takes his bonenus and contemplation. Whereas here, in chapter 18 and on, he starts talking about the derech tzara. Why is it derech tzara? Because you're accessing a love that's already there. You don't need that same level of work. But the Rebbe explains that Nida Lemer, he says, when you say the Alter Rebbe says derech harucha ktsara, he's not talking about two paths. It's one path that is both harucha ktsara. That's what the simple story in the Gemara, which would mean that the first path that we learned till chapter 18 is derech harucha ktsara, means it's harucha. It takes a hizbonanus. But once you have that hizbonanus, it's karev elecha dover me'ed. Because now you're accessing the moyach shal talev. Yes, it's hard work, but it's ktsara because it ultimately doesn't have the stumbling blocks. Whereas if you went the other approach and started only with the natural love, it's ktsara because it's accessible right away. It's there inside you. It's like accessing something that's already, you don't have to create the love. But on the other hand, it's harucha because it's not completely you. When I say not completely you, it's the natural love is within you, but your mind and your heart, the whole animal soul, has not been transformed at all. It's very active and very powerful. So yes, you can access that love. But what do you do with the animal soul? This bonenus is what changes you as a person. That's why he said the first klal, godel, in the beginning of chapter 16, that it's not just that you control the animal soul, your person, the very person that you are, is a different type of person. Due to time, we're going to stop here. There's more to speak about this, but we'll continue in the next week. Everyone have a good tevach. And TanyaApplied.com is where you can find this and all the previous programs.
This has been My Life Tanya Applied with Rabbi Simon Jacobson. Please join us again next week. Visit ChassidusApplied.com for archived classes and more resources.